You know, if you know anything, you know I try to help you, and you know that's true. You may not agree with what I preach here, but maybe you think it's every Sunday that I say this, with which you cannot find agreement. But I think even the harshest critic of what I say will have to agree that if you've been here a few times at all, you'll know I want to help you. And God knows that's true, too. I do want to be of help. Tonight I want to help you. I believe tonight I'm going to be talking about one of the most serious subjects that we face in our country, and yes, even in our church. Well, I ask your attention. I want every boy that's here to listen to me, every boy that's old enough to understand Brother Hyles, I want you to hear me. I want every girl that's here to listen to me, because some of these days you're going to have the unfortunate experience of living with a boy. And you've got to choose one of these knotheads, and I pity you. But I'd like to say this, that boys are made out of sugar and spice and everything nice. And girls are made out of rats and snails and puppy dog tails, and that's the text of our message for this evening. How many of you have a son? Would you raise your hand, please? You have a son. Thank you. How many teach boys in our Sunday school or superintend boys in our Sunday school? Would you raise your hand, please? All right. How many of you are males and under 18? Would you raise your hand, please? Okay. Now, that means the message will affect nearly everybody tonight. And like I say, it's as practical as cornbread and buttermilk. And yet it could be. Now, it won't be the best sermon as far as enjoying the sermon. It won't be the best sermon you ever heard, but it could be the most important sermon that you ever heard, and especially in the life of your boy. Pick up Life or Time or Newsweek or U.S. News and World Report and read some of the articles that are being traced there about the homosexual. Article I read the other day on the airplane, one of our weekly magazines, was called The Third Sex. The Third Sex. What is it? All right. There's male, there's female, and there's the homosexual. The Third Sex. In this magazine, it had a picture of initials carved on trees, you know, like John plus Mary. And in this article, had pictures carved on trees like John plus Joe. Or John loves Joe. And these perverts, not sick, but sinful, these perverts have started demonstrating for their rights, just like the Negro folks have demonstrated, and like the hippies are demonstrating, and like others. They're demonstrating for their rights. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, there's something behind all of this. The same philosophy that wants one world government also wants a one world race and a one world church and one sex. More and more, the lines of difference are being torn down between the sexes. A lot of talk nowadays, and a lot is printed especially, about the sexless society. In Chicago, I do not mean in Los Angeles, I mean over here, a few blocks away. There are clubs for homosexuals with weekly meetings. There are marriages, I mean over here, a few blocks away in Chicago. And I'm sure there's some out here. I know of some homosexuals in Hammond. I know of some within the church here. They have marriages where men marry men. One agrees to stay home and take care of the household duties and the cooking, and the other goes out and makes a living. But they live together, men marrying men. The same thing is true about ladies. Ladies marry each other. Now, I don't mean that they have it's legal, but though that's what they're striving for. They're striving for legality and recognition as married, as being married. But they do go to some perverted, benighted liberal preacher that ought to get out of the pulpit and do the world a favor. And he performs some kind of a sordid ceremony for them. And they have a homosexual marriage. You don't have to go, listen, you can go to most any, and I'm not against symphony music, classical music, opera music. I like all three. But you can go to most any public place like that. And I don't know about you ladies, but I know this is true about the men. I know you can go up to men's restrooms and see those perverted people hanging around, waiting for other perverts to come in. Now, that is normal. Homosexuality is a serious matter. And by the way, it is caused because we don't rear our children properly. And if you'll do what I say tonight, if you'll do what I say tonight, I'll guarantee you, you won't rear a homosexual boy. If you'll just do what I say tonight, I'll guarantee you won't. Well, that isn't all the problem. We're bankrupt for leadership. Literally bankrupt for leadership as far as men are concerned. Brother, in many of our cities, it's just a matter of time. The ladies will be mayor. It's only a matter of time, because ladies will like Shirley Temple Black and others, and I have some respect, by the way, for Shirley Temple Black. I think her political philosophy is perhaps near right. It's mostly ladies. I'm sorry, I've done it. I'm saying more and more, you have ladies in places of leadership. Now why? Because of the breakdown of the American male. In every phase of our life, we're desperate. Look, how often did you used to go to hear a preacher preach who really just cut loose and preached without fear or favor? How often did you used to do it, and how often do you do it now? What's the difference? Why, I listen. Preachers come here from seminaries and colleges, ministry students, and honestly, the way they sit in the service, a lot of them. Makes you want to come to the Corvette Church now. I mean, they walk out of prison. Every night, they're so glad to be in here. And I said, God help us, that fellow's going to leave the church one of these days. Our church is a bankrupt. Do you know that most major denominations are begging for leadership? I mean, men who rise above the other men. Most of them can't find anybody to speak anymore at the denominational meetings. Why? Because we're cutting out our preachers and our politicians out of the same mold. Nobody dares anymore. But they can rise up and say, hearken unto me, hear all I have to say. Why? Because the American male is passing off the sea. I read an article the other day in a magazine, an airline magazine, United Airline magazine, I think it was, Swank. And it said something about what happened to the American girl. And it told what's happened to American girls. And the same thing's happening to American males. Something is happening. We are desperately in need of men who lead. And so tonight, by the way, let me say this, fellas, the field is open. The field is open. You know as well as I do, when a fellow like me preaches all across this country at big denominational meetings, there's a bankruptcy. Now the field is open, wide open. Ladies and gentlemen, you make that boy into a man, and he'll have to succeed. In our generation, he doesn't have much competition. And so I want to help you tonight, and I'm going to, don't worry about the time, because I'm going to operate, and I'm not going to stop the surgery at 8:30 either. Now, you just sit still and fasten your seatbelt, and if you don't like it, you need it. If you do like it, you want it, and so either way, you're going to get it. And I'm going to help you. I want you to listen to what I have to say. Now listen carefully what I have to say. Because what I'm going to tell you tonight can literally save your life. There are parents in this house tonight who, if they had heard what I'm going to preach tonight, 20 years ago, they would have been spared the heartbreak and heartache that only God and them and I know they've had to suffer. So I'm going to give you, I won't even tell you how many points it discouraged you. Number one. Now, what's the sermon on? How to make a man out of a woman. One, dressing like a man. Dressing like a man. Don't take notes, because I want you to buy the tape. Take notes if you want to. It'll cost you a dollar that way, but it's 8 cents and a half. But dressing like a man. Now, under that, as soon as his hair gets to where it's a bit shaggy, cut it off! A lot of these hippies, it's not the first time they had long, shaggy hair. They had beautiful ringlets when they were two. Because some of you mothers hated to cut little Johnny's hair. And look what he turned out to be. Now, the honest truth is, you fix that little fight when he is a baby. And dress him like a boy. Get his hair cut like a boy. Just put those rings on. And make him look like a boy. By the time he's 2 days old, have some blue jeans on him. And when he gets 13, take them off and put some pants on him. I mean, dress him like a boy. I never have gotten used to the thing of calling him my little boy's in diaper shirt. Put trousers on him as soon as you can. Oftentimes I say, what a cute little girl. It's not a girl, it's a boy. And now dress him. Now that means from the time he's old enough to put clothes on and go outside, dress him like a boy, and cut his hair like a boy, and be sure he always looks like a man. Number two, teach him. Finally, I want to say this to all you number one. This is number one and a half. Listen. Teach him to like to be around people that are dressed like boys, boys are dressed like boys, and also teach him that it's unscriptural to have long hair. For a boy, a man to have long hair, it is unscriptural. It is sin. It's not taste. It's not preference. It's sin. For the Apostle Paul wrote the Christian church and said, it is a shame for a man to have long hair. And so, teach him that. Number two, teach him immediately strict obedience. Immediately strict obedience. Now follow me carefully. Nobody will ever be a good leader unless he has learned to be a rabid and good follower. For he will not know the heartbeat of the follower, and he will not know how to handle the follower. Now if you're going to train a boy to be a leader, and I'm talking about a boy to pastor church, or be a governor, or be a mayor, or be a school teacher, or be a leader of men, or be a leader of all if nothing else. Teach him while he's little to be obedient. And let him know the rules, set them plainly, so he'll know what they are. And the minute he breaks one, you tell him before he breaks it what's going to happen if he breaks it. Make it plain. Now, I'll say, little pal, now, if you touch this microphone, I'm going to spank your hand hard. Understand? So, no, 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 no. Say it. Brother! Boy, you need this sermon. Your mother should have had it. But, all right. Now, come touch it. Okay. Now, I didn't say it one more time. No, I said it just got through. Now look, that rule makes him understood, and let him know what the punishment's going to be. Let him know what the crime is and what the punishment is, so he'll know before he commits it whether it's worth it or not. And always make the punishment not worth the crime. Now, if I were a boy, 18 years of age, and my dad said to me, son, you get home by 11 o'clock at night, and I'm going to get on you if you don't. Well, good night. I'd be willing to spend a half hour more out with my girlfriend just for dad to ball me out. But if he takes the car away from me for a month so I can't even go out with my girlfriend anymore, I'm saving 30 minutes with my girl for a whole week with my girl, or a month with my girl. Make the punishment worse, I'll make the punishment so uncomfortable that it will not be worth it to break the rule, but make him live by discipline and strict obedience. All of you heard me say this. I've told this time and time again, but some of you folks were not here. I want you to get it. My boy David one time, and David was the one who sang the best while ago in the group. Easy to pick out. But my boy David came home one day 13 minutes late from Christmas shopping. Now, he had gotten the same thing, then 13 seconds late. But he got it. And he got it hard. And he got it privately. And he got it with all the pomp of inauguration ceremony. And then after I thanked him hard, I said, now, what was it kept you out so late? He said, getting your Christmas present gift wrapped. That's been years ago when you bought the Christmas present. But now I'm saying this. I'm saying he knows, but now he doesn't come in a minute late. Because he knows what the punishment is for that particular crime. Now look, when he's a little bitty thing, teach him obedience. Teach him to say yes sir, and yes ma'am, and no sir, and no ma'am. And be sure he does it while he's little. Number three. And I've just about said this, punish immediately and properly. Punish immediately and properly. Now that means when he does it, now I don't mean jerk him up. I don't mean just grab him and say, you're all right, you are! No, I don't mean that. I mean take him to the room, set him down, tell him what he did wrong, tell him what you ought to do it, then tell him why you did it, and make a big ordeal about it, and make it a private punishment, but make it immediate and proper. Number four, make him fulfill all obligations. Make him fulfill all obligations. My boy tells you to this day, if he has an obligation, he has to fill it. To this day, he'll say that. Back to Lincoln, he talked about some obligations and things he's assumed. And he's asked me, Dad, could I do this? And I said, son, you fulfill your obligation. A boy recalls that. I've taught my boy since he was that high. I've said, son, if a debt is due on the first, when are you going to pay it? He says, on the first. When he couldn't even talk plain. I'd say, when the dad gets old and dies, and mother's a widow, who's going to take care of mother? He says, I am. I said, you're going to put her off in some home somewhere, let her go without love and affection and care? He said, no, sir. Well, what if you don't have enough money? I'm going to take care of her and give her half of what I've got. You're a boy. Listen, what the American male needs is honor. Just plain old downright honor. Take me back to the old fella. The old mean guy who sat straight in his chair at home and just gave orders. Hey, woman, you do this. Junior, you help her. This shoe now, woman, shine this one. Now, he was a mean old goat. And brother and the kids, when the kids walked in, they felt like they were in the Supreme Court Supreme Court, and they were at the bench of justice. They did not like him then, but they rose up and called him blessed later. The old school, the man who was very careful about going in debt, the man whose word was as good as a signature, the man who was upright, honest, above board, helped his neighbor when he was in trouble. The old school. You teach your boy that an obligation, by the way, you teach him that promptness is a part of character. Teach him promptness. Teach him the book to take care of his obligation. I was telling about David. I tell David, when are you going to pay your debt? On the day they're due before. What if your bill's due on the first? You pay it on the second. What are you for one day? Dishonest, Dad. And you are. That's the thing, one thing, and that's the point. That's one of the things that is killing fundamentalism in America today. We have a bunch of shiftless, dirty, irresponsible, lackadaisical sluggards who are fundamentalists who don't pay their debts and don't take care of their property and they don't keep their word and they don't press their pants, they don't shine their shoes.
They are not nice or courteous. They have no integrity, honesty, decency, or honor. Teach your boy to have it. Teach him obligations are to be fulfilled promptly. Number five. Teach him physical coordination. Teach him physical coordination. Now read the first five. Dress him like a man. Two. Teach him strict obedience. Three. Punish immediately and properly. Four. Make him fulfill obligations properly. Five. Teach him physical coordination. Now, folks, look. You will go a long way toward helping your boy become a man if you will teach him to have his body coordinated like a man's body. I thank God I grew up at the edge of town so we had vacant lots. I thank God we didn't have any Little League baseball when I was a boy. I thank God that we didn't have toys that cost $19.98 on Christmas trees. I thank God that I was taught to go hunting and fishing and you know, you kids, you know everything what I'm about to say. You know what we played with? Old tires. Yeah, you sure? Yeah, you bunch of young modern whippersnappers. I mean old. How many of you ever had? But when, by the way, when I say old, I mean old. You know, we ought to put a dozen boots in that thing and worn out the boots before we ever used the tire to play with. What do we use tires? Talk about train set? That's an old tire with an old rope between the tree limb and the ground. That's our swing set. Didn't have to put A plug in B socket. Just put A tire on A limb. And just be content. But now, I'll say this, it was a multi-purpose toy. You could also roll it down the street, down the hill. Then you could push it up the hill, then you roll it back down the hill. How many of you ever had an old tire? Here's your toy. Sure, look how we turned out. Now look, that old tire, I can get it up, push down the hill and run down the hill and catch it and run it back up. And now, forgive me, I'm not any great kicks of an athlete, but I'll tell you one thing, my body's coordinate. And I made this before too. My sister's alive today because of it. I took her to South Birmingham where I was preaching one day. We walked across the street and the fellow turned left. The sun was shining in his eyes, turned left, and she didn't see him. He didn't see her. And he was about to hit her in the downtown South Bend. And I jumped. I thought she saw him. I jumped. And while I was in the air, they said, while I was in the air, I turned my body around, grabbed my sister, pulled her out of the way of the car. The car barely hit her. She was going away from the car over here. And all she was just a bruise or two. Now look, you be sure your boy is physically coordinated. Well, remember the skates we used to have when they wore out? You had 2x4, remember that? You had 2 2x4s, or 1x4 and put it this way, 2x4 down here, and you kids, bless your heart, you don't know anything about farms. This was our hot rod. This was our, now it's a Mustang car. But in those days, skate wheels on the bottom of a 2x4, remember? And you made a scooter out of it, down the hill. But listen, a kid wasn't he wasn't even elite unless he had a soapbox. I mean, look, you know what they go with? We stuffed a sock with old rags. How many of you did that? Well, you bunch of poor hillbillies. And we used the baseballs as a cover, not for purpose, and put some tar tape around it. You couldn't afford a baseball bat, so you got this stick, and you went down the street and got your bunch of rocks and threw one up here. Now I'm saying this. I'm not saying that you have to be an athlete. In fact, I'd rather you wouldn't be a professional athlete. I want our boys to be professional athletes. I want athletics to be properly support or have a proper place in life as a tool, an asset, to help a person be strong and coordinate. But whatever you do, You teach that boy how to handle his body. He'll need it. Teaching coordination. Number six. Go on, now here's one you're not going to like. A lot of you mothers are going to spiritually walk out of here on this one.
Teach him to walk to win. I am so sick of hearing, be a good loser. Don't even teach him what the word loss means.
We have absolutely rubbed this good loser bit. Don't be for listening in the ground. Job, you have good news. My mother tell you, every report card time, my conduct grade was in jeopardy. Because if we lost anything, I just couldn't take it. Little preacher came to me. When I say little, I don't mean little church. I mean 50. He came to me in a certain state where I was preaching, and he walked up to me, and his mother hadn't heard this sermon. And he walked up to me, and he fessed up, and he said, Reverend Howard, he said, you know what I found out about you? And I said, what? He said, you strike me as being a bad loser. Is that true? And I said, I don't know. And I said, if I ever lose, I'll call you up. You're never going to make a man out of your boy. Teach you to be a good loser. Teach you to be a winner. There's not a bunch of sisters, men, bitches, men sitting around now accepting walls, accepting failure, accepting mediocrity, accepting place of fellowship. We need some men who are undefeated champions in America. Winners! Well, if everybody can't win, I didn't say everybody had to win, just me. I'll bind you one thing. You play a game of checkers with me, you beat me, it'll take me weeks to get over it. Now, I'll be a good loser on the outside, but I'll blast you underneath. Right along here somewhere is something our nation's plagued with. That's why we have a bunch of politicians say, put out of Vietnam, let the Viet Cong win, let communists take over, we want peace. Peace, nothing, let's have some honor. Sure. Mama taught me to be a good loser. Why, listen, I know hundreds of men couldn't beat their wives at Chinese checkers. I'll mind you one thing, everybody won't ever beat me at anything. And I won't ever play with her anymore. I played ping pong one day with Maxie and Jeffers. I beat her 21-20, and I'll never play it again. Never. Because she came as near losing her job as she ever will that day. Now what I'm saying is important. We've taken our little boys and said, now, Junior, you be a good loser. So you lose them, they're no boy. Oh, Junior, you're a good loser. Congratulations, you're a good loser. So he tries to lose. He gets bragged on over there. He said, well, I'm afraid he won't be stubborn. That's exactly what I've got in mind. Well, you say you think he's always right. Well, sure he ought to be always right. Now, I think some of you ladies, listen, you just need somebody like me to handle you for a while. Well, these new bristles, you never have them broken. You're like a pony that's still alive and bucking. What you need is a man. Oh, your husband, he'll be a man if you'd ever let him. He's a man like one of these high schools are when the students run the school one day a year on student day. Every leap year, February 29, your husband gets to be a man for a while. You let him be so. Well, you can sit out there and help and talk all you want to, but you let one come, I'm going to chop out of your feminine bossiness. And don't you beat me out after service either and say, well, I didn't like your sermon because I'll beat you. I'll say first, I didn't like your listening. I'm saying let's take our boys and make men out of them. Teach them that it is important to win. If you cannot win, you be sure you die in an effort to win. That's where General MacArthur's come from. That's where Billy Thunders come from. That same energy. Billy Thunder has, as he's sitting in the third base. Hurry on! That same energy. That same energy Billy Thunder had when he's sitting in the third base and ran the bases. He got behind the pulpit, he had the same energy. And one reason we don't have any Dennis Sundays behind the pulpit, we don't have any Dennis Sundays on the bases anymore. You can't lose. Now, son, David Hiles, I'm talking to you. If you ever lose, after I thank you, I'm going to teach you to be a good loser. Okay, sit there, sister. Just sit there like you are. But when you turn out your voice, and then you call me up and let me see him. Number six. No, I want to hit six again. Teach you to want to win. Now number seven. Make him play with boys. This microphone's like those men are talking about. Make him play with boys. Please listen carefully. Be sure he plays cards and guns. Oh, you pacifist. I wouldn't give my boy a gun to teach him to shoot. That's what I had in mind. I gave my boy an air rifle when he was about 13 and gave him a 22 rifle last Christmas. He said, well, how? And he pulled the trigger? Yeah, it was bullets in it, too. Down the basement of our house. Teach him to play with what boys play. And don't let him play with girls. Look. You take every homosexual that I know. I take them to my office and I ask them questions. I've had dozens of them there. And I feel like I've got a dead fish in my hand. I'm afraid you're going to wink at me or something. I mean, I'd rather be with a murderer almost. There's nothing that quite turns me sick. But look, I can tell them what about their background, and here's what they'll say. Every time I say this, you played with the girls a lot when you were a boy, didn't you? And now then, you spend a lot of time listening alone, listening to stereo music, don't you? Yes, sir. Now hold it. I didn't say that listening to stereo music is homosexual. But I can say you're making a mistake when you let your boy play with girls or spend too much time by himself when he's little. Teach him to be with boys, to play boys' games. You see, if he's with girls, he takes up their tendencies, and copy their habits and mannerisms, make him play with boys. Now, my girls have not been allowed to play with boys. No, we have company, they can play. I'm talking about in the neighborhood. They're not allowed to play with boys. They play with other girls. And my boy David has been allowed to play as a little bit of fact. I mean 2 or 3 years of age. He's not been allowed to play with girls. He plays with boys. Don't let him be alone too much. And let him play with boys. Number eight, don't show him off in public. Don't show him off in public. Is this mic broken? Or do you know? Turn it on. Now then. I weren't such a he-man, I wouldn't turn it off with him. I said, he's coming like this and take this. Now listen. Johnny? Stand up and sing. Johnny, sing Jesus Loves Me. Say it, Johnny. And he stands up. Jesus loves me, this I know. Sing. Do it. Now, you're not doing Johnny a favor. You're just not. Now that's what Mrs. Cherry did with Lindsay. You'll make a music director out of him as sure as I'm in his heart.
Don't rag on him a lot. Look, here's the way you do it. Here's the way you do it.
Sal, be my boy, would you? Now,
I'm as thick about it as you are.
But,
why
not follow him?
Here's my boy, and he just sang tonight in a triple trio. Now, I don't,
what's he talking about? Did you hear my boy sing? What's he using again? Let him sing a lot.
He's good, isn't he? I'm getting mad if you don't use him a lot. You only use him a lot.
I'm proud of you, son. You're proud of him too, aren't you?
That's not the way to do it. When you get home tonight, I'll go in his room and say, hey, Doc.
Oh.
I say, hey, Doc. I don't know what you. I'm trying to get a point over. I want you.
I'll give you something.
That's great. I like that.
Pretty good for a not dead like you.
Thank you. That's the way I do it. That's the way you brag on boys. That's the way boys understand that kind of language. My boy, you'll not mind me saying this tonight. But I said coming to church tonight, just one little word to him. And he's not perfect. But he's gonna be like his dad someday, you wait. But he's not perfect. But now listen. I knew what I was going to preach on. He did too. And I said, this in one word, I said, Doc. Pardon, Doc. I said, Doc, you know I couldn't preach. I was alone, out in the car. I said, you know I couldn't preach tonight, so I'm going to preach. If I didn't have a boy like you. That's all I said. Now that's boy language. And so I looked over at him. He just sort of grunted. And I said, well, come on. He said, I did this morning when I saw those bus folks just missing out on our bus. All those kids. Now, that's the way you treat boys. Oh, sure, Mom. You'll make little cocky brats out of them. Don't push them. Just don't show them off. Number 9. You want to make a man out of a boy, don't keep him under your thumb. Don't keep him under your thumb. Let him spend the night with other boys. Now, I mean good Christian boys in church. Let him spend the night with other boys. Send him off to camp in the summertime. I mean when he's 7 or 8 years old. He said, huh? I'm afraid you won't brush his teeth. That's what I have in mind. Send him off to camp. Let him learn how to kill a snake. Hold it up to the tail. Let him learn how to put frogs in his pocket. I thank God my mother didn't hear this sermon, not the kids. Let him learn how to tie a knot. Let him learn how to build a fire and cook bacon over an outdoor fire. Let him learn how to hike so he cannot stand up there when his feet get blistered on him. Don't keep him under your thumb. Mothers, you'll be so prone to do this. It's awful hard. You realize that your little Johnny's going to be a man. Oh, brother. I'm always kidding, Dave. When I go to Bill Rice Ranch, he's down there, I'm always kidding. Did you brush your teeth now? Now, mothers, I know you don't like this, but you wait. You wait. You don't let that boy, as he gets older, let him have a little, I don't mean freedom to do wrong, but I mean let him do what boys do. Let him start doing what men ought to do. You know, when I was a kid, I couldn't go camping. I couldn't afford to go to camp. But you know, I'd go out in the backyard and set up a camp speaker up there at night. Just in the backyard. Don't over shelter your boy. And by the way, let me say this too. Don't always run to his defense. Don't run to his defense. If Brother Terry doesn't choose it for same group, don't be that kind of mother and dad. Now, I'm not trying to help you. I'm not mad at you. I'm not talking about anybody, but that's no way to rear a boy. You a rear a fellow, every time he gets in trouble, he expects you to come to bail him out. Always stand for the authorities that are over him unless they're immoral. Okay, one of our finest boys, one of the finest kids we've got, let me be a preacher. I love the guy. He's a good kid, 16 years old. Came in all for the night. He said, how's my teacher persecuting me? I said, why? Well, he said, I come to church all Wednesday night, and I don't get, and I'm busy in activities, and I don't get all my homework done, and my teacher's going to give me a bad grade for that. And I said, she ought to. Well, he said, I've been coming to church. I said, okay, then study when you get home. By the way, that's highly overrated, too. Do you know what that is, too? Oh, some of these backslidden heathen psychiatrists are sure told you're going to do it. Now, I'm for sleep. But there's some things better than sleep. I can't think of anything now but eating. but there's some things better than sleep. Don't lord over the child. And little, don't get mad at me. I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm trying to help you. But if you get mad, go ahead. I'm going to say it again. Number 10, this is important. As he gets up 10, 11, 12 years, start letting him shop by himself. Start letting him shop by himself. Is there anything in the world that sort of gets me is to see a mother with a big 18-year-old boy now hitting and try pants on at the boy's men's shop. Or any worse than that, for a wife, be down hitting her husband to take out the pants. But that's the kind of fellow who did it. Had a mother, every time he got a pair of socks, she had to be sure it went with his size. Now, I'd rather him be a man than have tie and socks that match. Now, I'd rather him have tie and socks that match. But look, in fact, you ladies, you say to your children, you all learn how to keep house, but it makes such a mess every time you do it. Well, somebody's got to learn. Like these outfits that everywhere you go, you got to have experience. Who's going to get experience? I said, Mrs. Hiles, let's let David go down and pick out his own stuff. He's 15 years old. Now, if he comes home with something that I think is wrong, he drops it back down the plate. But let him go along. Let him learn how to say, how do you do, sir? Tell us what size you are. Here's the average deal. Here comes mother, or dad, and here's the son. Son's 6'2". Dad, 5'4". Dad comes in, and the son looks down at dad, and the salesman says, "What size you are, son?" And the mother says, 5'22". Son, you want something single-breasted or breasted? Oh, we want single-breasted. There's two words I like to say to you. The first one is shut, and the second one is up. Let the boy become a man. Here's what will happen. He'll grow up someday. His wife will stick out every tie he wears, lay down on the bed 5 in the morning, broken before he goes to bed at night. And what you'll have is a fellow that if he doesn't marry a mother, he won't be happy. And you're robbing some lady of having a man for a husband. And you're robbing some fellow of there being a man. Let him be on his own, son. He's not going to lead a big corporation if he can't buy his own tie every time he's old enough to make a football team. Let him be on his own. One of our ladies told me, very kindly, she told me her boy was about 8 years old. She gave him a quarter for working about a half a day. I mean, boy, he worked and got fagged out, too. About a half a day. Then she sent him a mile of a busy street, like Indianapolis Boulevard, to a 5- and 10-cent store to spend this quarter. Now, I'm not saying that's what you ought to do, but I'm saying I'd rather have that than every time he goes to the 5- and 10-cent store, Ma has to get out in the car and take him there. I know you get tired of talking about what we did in the old days. But I said, sir, what did we do before Mama got the key to the car and trotted us a block away? I can recall, and who likes to hear this? Well, like it or not, she's going to hear it. I can recall getting on a bicycle and riding a couple of miles to get some coal oil. Putting over the bicycle, I mean, don't lord over the child, the boy. Let him make some decisions. Look, if he's going to make decisions someday that affect the great church or affect the nation or affect the city or affect the great corporation, he's got to be taught when he's a little child to make the decision of what socks he's going to wear. I don't know if you're liking this or not, but this is good preaching. I mean, this is about as needed as anything in America. Number 11, talk to him like a man. Talk to him like a man. Now, some of you mothers have boys 16 years old. You say, take out the garbage, baby. Boys, am I right? How many of you boys sometimes, now be honest with that, parents, close your eyes, bow your head, close your eyes. How many of you boys, be honest, sometimes your mom or your dad call you baby or honey or something and just all, yes. Huh? Yeah, that's what I thought. My boy's hands up. Mom, I'm going to youth activity. Well, look, honey doll, be back on time, sugar baby. Then one of these days, he can't get a promotion, he can't run anything. And you say, I just don't know where I failed him. You failed him because you overly protected him and overly baited him. Now, you've just let up a little bit on the change and give that boy a chance to develop to become a man. And talk to him like a man. Not a kid just 15 years old. You don't walk up to him and say, but when you go up to the high school in the morning and he says goodbye to you, you don't get out of the car in the lobby of the high school and kiss him goodbye right in the mouth. Now, not a boy in this room likes that from his mother. And you better not know whether you like it anywhere else or not. Look. If you're going to hug him, do it alone. If you're going to kiss him, do it alone. Now, hold it. I think it's good for a boy to kiss his mother in public, but let him be the one to initiate it. Let him do it. Now, if he wants to, if your boy kisses you in public when he gets a teenage boy, let him do the kissing. You drive him to school in the morning, and he gets out of the car, and you give him a big old, in the first place, you're not very pretty in the morning when you're driving to school. But talk to him like a man. Boy, you boys that come to my office, every one of you know this is true. Every one of them, this is true. No boy ever comes into my office and is treated anything less than man to man. Talked to some fellows this last week. And I'm sure some were surprised. I didn't take the side of mother or dad. I talked to them like a man ought to talk to a man. And I'm about to cry here, but boy, I thank God for the young fellows we've grown up here, these over 10 years at First Baptist Church. They walk in my office like men. They're dressed like men. They shake my hand like a man. They look me in the eye while they talk to me. And they say yes, sir, and no, sir. And they're a bit genuine. And brother, you don't have to be a sister to do that. I mean, just teach them to talk like men. And if you're going to teach them to talk like men, talk to them like men. If these kids over here, teenagers, if every one of them would tell the biggest gripe they've got against their parents, every last one of them would say, you don't treat them old enough. You still treat me like a baby. How many of you have ever heard your child say, you still treat me like a little bitty baby or a little child? Raise your hand, parents. Of course you have. Talk to them like a man. Number 12.
And this, I've already said this, but just, I'll just say it and pass on. Show manly affection. Show manly affection. Number 13, give him work, responsibility, and authority. Give him work, responsibility, and authority. Now, be sure your boy knows how to work. For that matter, I think your boy ought to know how to take suffering and pain and punishment. That's one reason why I like football. Sports. That's one reason why when I was a kid, I want my boy. I thought my boy was a kid to box. Now I'm no great shaker or boxer, but it's what if I had to throw my gloves at somebody, now they may beat me, but said no, I had the lesson here there. Now I'm too old, that's right. But I do one thing, I ask myself. You know it's not it. Now, a boy ought to know how it feels to get hit right in nozzle, right there. There's nothing quite like it in the world. I mean, everything in the world tingles, and talk about landing on the moon, you just pass it. And you don't cry, it just knocks the tears out of you. You know what I mean? It just, like that. It's part of growing up. You say, well, Tony, if you play football, I'm afraid you might skin your knee. Well, I'm afraid you might not. Every boy ought to know what it is to have a strawberry. Is it still called strawberry? Right over here. So you slide in the third base. Right about there. Man just takes the high right off. Every boy ought to know what it is to have an eye that's black, getting me out of the football or baseball, and not blocking him. Every guy ought to know what it is. You mothers, God bless you. I love you. You're a wonderful lady. You're just not very good men. But you mothers. Every time Junior comes home, he says, you think we ought to go to the doctor? Now, teach him to work. I told you this many times. When David is just 5 years old, I got a baseball and got out in the yard and knocked him grounders. I'll give you a quarter of every one you can catch. He didn't make a thing. I hit him too hard. He bounced up and hit him in the chest, hit him in the nose, hit him in the head, hit him in the shoulder. He came in bruised and broke. But more man. More man. Number 14. Oh, hold it. Let me get finished number 13. I got 3 points for that and just got one of them. Work, number 2, responsibility. Responsibility. Give him something he does as regular work and make him responsible for it. Don't leave down his neck. You're trying to make him a leader. You're trying to give him initiative. You're trying, look, you know, that's one reason why that oftentimes ladies turn out to be greater leaders than men. You know why? Because we're in city life. Now follow me carefully. We're in city life now. There are no chores much for boys to do. There are chores for girls to do. What happened? Boys grew up without any chores. No milking, no feeding the pigs, no gathering the eggs, no chores like we had on the farm, you know, out the edge of town. What happened? Girls, iron, keep house, cook, wash, dry the dishes. Could I stop and say this too? Boys, you're going to like me now. I'd be very careful about letting my boys do too many dishes and too much housework. Amen? Amen? Very careful about it. Now, but that's the trouble. I recall Dr. Bill Rice wrote me and he said, Dr. Hiles, he said, how's your boy baby like to have a pony? And Mrs. Hiles said, where are we going to put a pony? Well, I had to look behind someplace. We went to the neighbors across the street, they had a big backyard, and we had and have a little shed out there. We asked them to use their shed, and we had a pony out in Munster. And oh, brother, midnight the phone rang as the police said, hey, you have a horse? You don't say a horse. It's running down the driver's seat. Yeah, you got every time the phone rang. I figured up and said, where is the horse now? You know. I said, now, Dave, you want that horse. You got to feed him. He'd get up in the morning, plug through the snow and sub-zero weather. He'd have a he'd have water pail in one hand and a sack of feed in the other and over to feed the horse. Ride the horse up and down and bring the horse and so forth. And he got to the police. I was there. It's only Tony, do a life in the head, has a police record. And but you know, he needs responsibility. A boy needs something to do where he's responsible for it, and also he needs some authority. Some authority. If a fellow's going to, by the way, back to the, if the girl, she irons, she washes, she cooks, she bakes, she sews, she keeps house, she dusts, she vacuums, and so she becomes, she has authority, responsibility. And she grows up and is more of a leader than the boy. Now that's what city life has done. But you have to work at it now to find manly things for the boy to do. And get him some authority. Let him, while he's young, become a leader of something. Number 14, don't make a mold for him. Don't make a mold for him. Okay, so you are a lawyer. Don't decide before he's born he's going to be a lawyer too. Okay, you're a preacher. Let him be what God calls him to be. And don't let him think you be disappointed. He's not what he thinks you want him to be. Now, everybody and his dog knows that I'd like my boy David to be a preacher. But I'll tell you one thing. If my boy David becomes an honest man of character, and he's the best garbage collector in Hammond, his dad will be proud of him. I've often said this. You're trying to make a preacher out of your boy. I said, no, I'm trying to make a man out of my boy. You can make anything out of a man, but you can't make much out of just a preacher. We need men. Men who are leaders. Men who have strong men. Now hold it, fellas. If the twig is already bent, don't you decide to become a man. You're 35, 40, 45, 50. You just go ahead and stay on your rope and on your leash. And don't try to leap. Just work on you, boy. You see, just look in the mirror and say you're a lost cause, but do something with the boy. Ask your wife if you can. Go home now and say, sweetheart, can I make a man out of my boy? Don't make a mold for him. Don't have expectations for him that'll discourage you if you can't meet them. Let him go his own route. Let him hoe his own row. Number 15, and this is the last one. Teach him to have the proper hero. Teach him to have the proper hero. To me, that's one of the greatest things my mother ever did for me. She pointed the man whom I could emulate and who could be my hero. And I tried to become like those men. And I'll be eternally grateful for the fact that my mother gave me heroes. And let me say this too. If he's not going to have spiritual heroes, I'd rather call him have athletic heroes than Hollywood heroes or music heroes. I'd rather for Mickey Mantle to be his hero than Tchaikovsky. Tchaikovsky? Is he alive? Well, Mozart then. Nobody was alive. I'd rather my boy to have an athletic hero. Now, I'd rather, look. Do you know that I know how I'm preaching now? Do you know I don't have to preach this way? Did you know that I could preach to please you Moody students? Who? If I got back in enough? Do you know that I know how to do it? I think until those dead courses you take, I don't know if I'm a specialist, they teach you all through. I've taken Witherspoon's homiletics and brought it. I've taken strong theology and common theology. I've got those outlines, same ones you get. But anyway, what I'm doing tonight will deal with your people a lot better than Witherspoon will. But now look, one reason I do it like this,
Because I want these boys out here, I want you mothers to be able to think. Suppose I should have said, now tonight I'm preaching on how to make a man out of a boy. Now, point one. I want you to hear him look up and say, son, he's a preacher, but he's also a man. Teach him as the right kind of hero. Pastor. And by the way, you folks that go to church, and you don't have, now I'm not saying I'm no Rocky Marciano. But you folks that go to church, well, you can't look at to your son and say, son, I want you to be like that man up there. He's a he-man. Then you need to change churches. Thought of you departing with the churches, and if you said, son, be like that man, he'd have to wear a skirt to school tomorrow. And you know what's the truth. Now, you can like that or lump it. Take it with sugar, salt, or yogurt. You know it's true. Yes, you're a son of a church! And I am pastor! So your boys can know what a Christian... The average boy has the idea that he's a Christian and a good Christian. He's got to be a sissy. Then also, find older boys whom you respect. And say, son, look, do you remember when you were four how old a six-year-old was? Huh? Well, I can recall looking at boys that were six when I was four and saying, I've been mad when I get grown. Well, I thought they were grown. I can recall looking at, when I was in the fourth grade, looking at sixth grade boys and thinking, well, those fellas are monsters. Giants. Okay, can you pick a sixth grade boy for your fourth grade boy and say, son, that's a good boy. I'd like to be like that. And let him have the right kind of hero.